It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple announces an Apple Watch 10-year anniversary activity challenge. Siri with Apple Intelligence may be coming this fall under new leadership. And two more lives saved by the Apple Watch. Plus reviews of Ecobee Smart Camera, ChatGPT Update, and Apple's Education Store. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 491, recorded Friday, April 18th, 2025. WALL-E, Apple TV.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
What?
Yeah, you're first.
What?
I catch you off guard there.
100% you did, but thank you very much. I am good to be here.
Nice. Also joining us is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Tom. How's it going? It's so great to be here.
No, that didn't work. Wow. Were you inhaling helium there or something?
Not exactly my voice there.
No. We were playing around with some voice stuff before the show, and you tried to use that as your intro. It did not work.
No, that was the 13-year-old Vincent.
Yes, that's Vincent from the past.
In a tunnel, 50 feet away.
There it is.
Other than that,
it's great. Coming soon. Yeah.
Yes. It is pretty amazing how these voice things are just becoming. The AI is becoming so realistic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was playing around with one. The reason we were talking about it was I found one of their stock voices sounds a lot like you, Chris. So
yes,
I played it for you. It's you could be an announcer with that.
If I could change careers, maybe I should just do that with a AI voice.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that would. Mm-hmm. That, well, they already have it though. So. Anyway, cool. I'm tariff exempt. How are you guys doing this week?
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a long story.
It is, isn't it? So,
well, you have to remember, I'm in the supply chain business.
Ugh.
For what I do and what I sell, it's like a boon, man.
Ooh.
So I've gotten a lot of inquiries, let's say, about the tariffs. So it is exhausting, though.
Mm.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, because what we're talking about, and by the way, we're recording this on a Friday night, so it's going to be a crazy show, as you can already tell from the beginning, already off the rails. But what we're talking about is the apparently there was an exemption for smartphones and some other electronics from China on the tariffs, which was great. And then all of a sudden it was, well, but there might be some new ones coming up on the chips. So nobody knows what's going to happen. So it's been a little crazy, especially, mm-hmm. Can you imagine that Apple right now?
Oh yeah.
What they're going through.
I imagine. Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be nuts. Anyway,
we shall see.
Go ahead.
When you become a senior leader of a business, I mean, you know there's going to be politics, but this is like the ultimate, man. You can't get any more politics than this. It's really trying to save your business.
Yeah, and I had some stories. I was kind of hesitant to put them in the show rundown here, but because it changes so quickly. By the time we talk about this, it may not matter, but one of them I saw was trying to explain how Tim Cook had actually called the president, and that's why it got turned off for now. I don't know whether to believe any of that.
Yeah, but. Yeah. It's amazing. I think that, being Friday night, Tom, my mind is half here. I'm going to admit it. I'm just saying, you and I read the book. Was it the, it wasn't Steve Jobs' biography. It was that other book But remember they talked about Foxconn and how many people work there to make your million phones a day?
Yes.
I mean, it is incredible. So, you know, I think that there's so much invested that Tim Cook had to do everything he could.
Well, yeah. Any CEO would do that. But this on and off has got to be crazy. They just can't predict what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. Just not knowing or knowing it 1 minute's different than the next is
the worst kind of disruption. On top of that is all the chaos that's going on at Apple right now anyway with Apple Intelligence. It's just unbelievable, the stories that are kind of coming out. Now, again, I'm not going to go through much of them in detail. There was some talk of how they may have shot themselves in the foot earlier, like back in 2017 or 18, when they wanted to invest, a lot of engineers wanted to invest more money into AI with more servers and things like that, and it got cut back in half at the time. I think Tim Cook was all for it, but their chief financial officer, what's his name, Luca Maestri,
he retired, he
cut back on it like in half, and that kind of, they were kind of hamstrung at that point.
Oh, boy.
Couldn't, you know, so even that far back they wanted to get a jump on this and just didn't. And we've heard all the different things. Well, this kind of leads to our first story here. There's been a shakeup in the leadership because of the promises of a smarter version of Siri with Apple Intelligence that was announced last June at WWDC, which has yet to materialize completely. Certain people are out. I think we talked about this last episode.
Yeah.
And that Craig Federighi is now in charge, and he's already made some pretty big moves here. So, and this all comes from, it was published in the information, a bunch of details about the drama and the conflicts and everything that's going on there. But apparently, under Craig's leadership now, for the first time, Apple engineers can now use third-party LLMs to build the Siri features. They were not even allowed to do that before, but now they can use them. So, as I say, until recently, they could only use those third-party LLMs to benchmark them against their own in-house models during testing. Well, Craig's saying, no, do what you have to do to make this work.
Well, now we
shall see.
It's a little bit more mainstream now. Back then, if you were using AI, you know, it wasn't as reliable. And it's moving really, really fast. I mean, it's kind of the product of the times at this point.
Yeah. He has said, do whatever it takes to build the best AI features, even if it means using open source models from other companies.
Yeah.
I think they just got to get something out there, and then they can work on making it their own. But, so they're off and running. We'll see what happens. You know, we were talking previously about a delay. What were they talking about, 2026 or later? Maybe 27 before we would see this. And now there's another report out from the New York Times that says those delayed Apple Intelligence Siri features may be coming this fall.
Yeah.
That quickly.
With Craig.
Right.
So it's never been canceled, you know, this whole revamp. They've just had to pull it back and make some adjustments. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. But that would be good news for them. All I know for sure is you're not going to hear much about it at WWDC this June.
Oh, really?
I don't think they're going to promise anything after what happened. There is no way they're going to promise. They'll talk about it, but they're not going to tell you when it's coming.
I would think
coming soon or something.
Exactly.
Did they announce an SDK last year at all?
You mean for this?
For the developers. Like, I would imagine that this... Well, yeah, the last time they didn't, did they?
The WWDC last year?
Did they announce anything for the AI? Did they?
So, I don't think there was one. No, because it was still delayed, right? All of it was delayed.
They have a machine learning and AI guide. Yeah, that was released to get Apple Intelligence. They'll probably double down on that and continue pushing.
Maybe.
Yeah, for the developers, because they do need the community to kind of buy in, allow for certain parts of a developer's app to use the intelligence, as well as to have the intelligence read from their like the permissions to do that. How much is it going to be incorporated so that you can, you know, I don't know, maybe there's some weird app that says, you know, take me back to that last stage that I didn't do well on. I don't know, some game, you know, and it does. That'd be kind of neat. Yeah.
No, you just ask Siri to do it.
Right? Yeah, ask Siri to do it. Yeah, and then so it'll...
that's...
Yeah.
No, that's what this whole thing is. Like, you don't have to have an SDK. Okay, you just ask Siri.
But the app has to, you know, you have to let the developer do it.
It's crazy. Really cool stuff. The stuff everybody's looking forward to, probably more than anything they've already delivered, is supposed to be coming with that. You know, the ability for deeper, like you said, app integration, right? So to be able to say, move this file between these two apps, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Edit a photo and send it. Yeah. You know, stuff that is more complicated to do right now.
I think it's supposed to be part of SiriKit. SiriKit and something with that. Oh, no, my Siri's going off now. And the Apple's app intent framework. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I wonder if they'll. As a advertising person and a branding person, I'm really concerned that the name Siri and the brand has been damaged by all of this.
Yeah.
Has become a joke, a bit of it, right? People don't use it for what they should be using it for. Do you think they'll change the name of it?
I think eventually they need to, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair
point.
It would make sense. It would kind of usher in the idea that this is something new, right? Moving forward.
Right. It's a generational change of capability. So why not have a change in name? I can totally see that. Leaves the past behind.
Exactly. Leave all that baggage behind you. Mm-hmm. Forget about that with something else.
It's going to be called S-A-I-R-E. Siri.
Siri.
Siri. Because there's
AI now.
There's Siri. They didn't get it done sooner. Is that why? Yeah. But yeah. Why was it called Siri in the first place? Was that the name of the company they bought?
I think something like that. Yeah.
The voice thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just kept that name. But okay. So this fall, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Not holding my breath.
I'll take any part of it. I mean, there's four or five key elements of the new AI that they want to bring out, right? And as I was reading the article, the personal context, I'll take that any day. They can bring that out first, right? Because how many times have you gone trying to find emails and find specific things in email? I would love to just ask about it now. So,
right. But it can't do that without the other things, I think.
Yeah.
The deeper app integration and all of that, it kind of has to know that first. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
so there's any of this hierarchy
would be great.
Yeah. Might be a hierarchy. Yeah, it makes sense.
Because right now, we've got Type to Siri, refreshed interface, Chat GPT integration, right? That's what we've got so far.
Right.
There's so much more to be done.
Yeah.
So
I'm thinking that if they do release some sort of iteration, it'd be some sort of on-device model that can then run and just basically process the information that's already cached on your device. So the latest month of emails that were synced or messages or things that you've sent, photos you've taken, but all the historical stuff that has to reach out to iCloud, and then maybe they have some sort of extension or graph to find the index of those things. But for the most part, I think like I'm with Chris. I mean, just something that can run locally and safely. I'm all for. I'm looking forward
to that. Well, that's the problem, right? I was listening to another podcast where they got really deep into this, and apparently, the Apple's entire culture is this privacy-based thing, which is great, but it's so deeply ingrained that it's at a complete crossroads with AI. You can't do both, right? In other words, the only way to get an AI model to work properly is to go outside of the device. Mm-hmm. It has to. So how do you do that and keep privacy at the same time? And they talked about this very complicated thing. I wish I could think of what they called it, because what it does is it uses the data, it interprets the data from outside and compares it to your data, but not specifics.
Yeah.
And then comes up with, okay, this is what it needs to, this is what you're asking for, without actually taking your email outside of the phone to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Does that make any sense? It's interpretive or something sort of thing that they're doing.
Yeah, a protocol called MCP or Model Context Protocol, which basically allows for LLMs or models to talk, AIs to talk to each other. And so basically, you have your local and your Apple-supported agent that then will reach out to the other sources and basically ask it a question and say, I need this information, send it back to me. And so that protocol is being exercised now. Their folks are actually starting to build to it. And so there's going to be more and more of those things to your point. Like, you know, if I need information, get it from somewhere, bring it back, compare it to whatever I have locally, and then send it back to the user. So that is in process.
Yeah. And I think that's actually something like that Apple's been doing for quite a while with that whole what was it? The entire C-SPAN thing? What was that? Again, it's Friday night. I have no idea what I'm doing. but they had a deal a while back. It was something to protect the privacy of, I don't know what it was, kids or something. It was something to do with that.
Hmm.
And they were using this model to do it. And then something happened. They got sued or something. They had to shut it down. But that's what they have been doing for quite a while. So I think they may be turning it on in this particular case.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm babbling. Let's move on.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, let's move
on. Your
call. I'm moving on. All right. Let's talk about something positive here. Apple Watch Activity Challenge for their 10 years of doing these challenges and closing your rings, right? We got that coming up on April 24th. Okay. That's next week. So they're going to do a special 10th anniversary Apple Watch challenge. And it's called your Global Close Your Rings Day. And you're going to get the typical digital awards that you normally get. But the thing that's different this time is they're going to offer an actual physical pin, an award as a pin that you can go into the store and pick up.
I'm going to do this.
Yes.
Are you?
for an actual physical pin? Yeah.
What's going to be your exercise, your activity?
I don't know, the run around.
All right. Okay.
He's going to run to the store.
I assume you have to close all your rings that day.
You have to close your rings that day.
Yeah.
And you'll get your typical badge, you know, the animated badge, the stickers and all that good stuff. But my problem is I'm at a show next week.
Oh.
Mm. And I am in a part of the country that I did a search. There's not an Apple store within 200 miles of where I'm going to be. So I will not be able to do this because I guarantee you by the time I get back and get to an Apple store, it says while supplies last, they will be gone.
Mm.
Or maybe not. Maybe they'll have enough. We'll give it a try. But it's going to be at least 5 or 6 days before I can get one.
Right.
So
Anyway. Well, I put a reminder in my phone, although I know I'll do it, but I put a reminder in my phone just to remind me of this because there's an Apple store close to me. I'm gonna really try this. And Vincent, when I get that, you know, Vincent closed all rings, I think my phone will be like, what happened? Vincent closed all three rings?
It's the 24th. I'm going to be on a plane
24th. Put the right day on there.
All right. Here it
is. Yeah.
Get the right date. So I imagine they wouldn't start until the next day to give out the pins, right?
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't complete all 12 hours of stand.
No. You can pick up starting the 24th, it says. So
right. How do you get that done? How do you get 12 hours of stand before? That's not possible.
You start at midnight.
Let's see. You get on a plane and fly in the, I don't know.
What does it say? Yeah, users who close all three rings.
Yeah. Well, it says close all three rings. It doesn't have to be 12 hours.
Correct. Mm. Put four.
You can change that.
Put four. And then you can go to the mall before 10 o'clock in the morning. You'll have your four stands. You can exercise. And you got it done, man. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah. 5 minutes of exercise, four stand, and turn your calories down to 100.
Boom.
You'll have it just walking through the mall to get there.
There you go.
Start an activity right as you start heading for the Apple store. Walk through the mall. It'll go off on your watch. You show it to them. You get the
pin. There's a life hack for you.
There's a shortcut for you. A hack. But yeah, I'm kind of bummed. I have that feeling they're going to be out by the time I
Guess you're probably right, Tom.
After 10 years of doing this, I'm going to miss out on the only physical pin they've ever done.
I certainly hope they'll have enough in inventory.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be a good gauge of how many people are actually taking this seriously, closing their ring, and then...
True.
And then it's good marketing, I mean, in general. I mean, you're gonna
it's great. I don't know why they haven't done this before. Mm-hmm. You know, for certain events and certain things. You know, unfortunately, everybody I know that when I worked at an Apple store, I've been in touch with forever. They're probably not even working at Apple stores anymore.
Yeah, so probably
it's not like I could call someone and say, hey, can you hold one of those for me?
I'm certainly cool.
There's an image of
going. Probably find one on eBay.
To pay for it, yeah. There's an image of it here in this article. I'll put a link in the show notes for it, of the metal, which I think came from Apple's website, did it not? Their announcement. But it, not sure if that's what the pin's going to look like. We don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't either, to tell you the honest truth.
Yeah.
Let's see, does this link to that?
I mean, that could be the digital award, and then the pin will be different.
Yeah, that could be the digital one. I don't know why I saw this on Apple's. Oh, Apple just announced. Did I?
And will it be a pin with the old school pin that put a hole in your shirt? Will it be a pin with the new magnetic thing that you just slap, you know, on the magnet on the inside, and it holds the pin in, so you don't put a hole in your shirt?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I worked at the Apple store, I got an Apple pin.
Mm-hmm.
As an employee.
Oh, did you?
Apple. Well, I have to dig it out of my closet somewhere. I have it somewhere. It might be, yeah. So they've done things like this in the past, at least for employees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm on Apple's website in their newsroom, like a press release for this. And it's showing you see those three images, the person walking their dog?
Yes, yes.
They're animated.
Mm-hmm. 3D, yeah.
Is that going to be the stickers?
Maybe.
Instead of the really simple ones that we get?
Yeah.
That's got to be them.
That's new. Yeah.
That's completely
more special. Yeah.
And then there's an image of the... Oh, no. Here they are. Sorry. I scroll down. I see all the animated badges. There's a bicycle. There's a swimmer. There's hiking, wheelchair, yoga, running... sit-ups, frisbee, skateboarding, and dancing. So there's a lot of them there. Anyway,
I'm not seeing this. Okay.
If you go to the top of this article where it says just announced,
click on
that. It takes you to the Apple store, scroll down, and then where you see the watch go, there's like 10 images there. that you can flip through. I'll put a link in the show notes for this as well. So we can all see it.
There you go. Okay, I see it.
Ooh.
Yep.
Oh, you should have been the 3D animated ones. That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. And you scroll on a little further, they've got some statistics here. It says Apple Watch users who frequently close their activity rings are 48% less likely to experience poor sleep quality, 73% less likely to experience elevated heart resting rate. Wait, sorry, that changed on me. It keeps flipping. I can't speak that quickly. 73% experience elevated resting heart. Changed again. Apple, slow
come
down.
Come on.
Come on. Come on. Oh, wait, here's another another one of the new one, stretching, doing yoga. Yeah.
Hmm.
That's cool. That's cool. All right. So cross your fingers I can actually get to a store and get one of those.
Indeed.
You know, I was thinking if a store was even within 20 miles, I'd probably drive all the way out there and get it, you know. But
I wonder if they know if it's limit one, if they come back. I'm going to come back 3 times.
Do they take your name? How do they know?
I don't know.
How do they know?
There's a number of stores around me.
Yeah. All right, Vincent. That's your goal. If I don't get one, go in twice. Make sure you talk to a different employee.
Yeah.
And I would assume they're just going to want to see your badge, your fitness badge that you completed, that you got the medal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they do something to say, okay, you can't get another one. Who knows?
Who knows? Get your Apple ID or something like that.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I would guess, there'd be something that maybe a QR code or something pops up when you go in there. Who knows? But
yeah, we'll find out.
They're not going to let you get two. Come on.
Who knows? I don't know.
Well, we shall try.
They've never done this before, have they?
Yeah.
I know.
All right, moving on. This is from a top leaker. I love these rumor things.
Versus the bottom leaker.
Exactly. You don't want to take information from a bottom leaker. That's just not good.
Yeah.
Top leaker, though, confirms two major changes coming to watchOS 12. This isn't too much really new news, but we'll go ahead and talk about it. And so there was at first a very kind of sketchy, rumor about this, that Apple Intelligence features and a Vision OS-like design.
Mm-hmm.
But then Mark Gurman, on his Power On newsletter, kind of corroborated some of this. He said that watchOS 12 will focus on two major features, Apple Intelligence and what they're calling Solarium, which is the internal name for the new design language coming to iOS 19, iPad OS 19, and Mac OS 16. So that is the... It does, doesn't it? Solarium. Or is it more of a light thing, like giving them a little
bit of both. I can see
highlight.
Yeah, a little transparency
maybe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Solarium. The Vision. Yeah,
like the Vision.
Yeah.
So we might get some of that with the watch. Not sure how I feel about that.
I just realized, after we talked about that last article, that since the beginning.
Right.
It has.
Yeah. But it never took a, I don't know, those mock-ups were just horrible. That's all I have to say from a design standpoint. They were terrible. Do you have your watch in list mode or grid mode?
Grid.
Okay, I just changed it to grid. And as I'm looking at it, I don't see any icons that do what I saw in the mock-ups, which was taking a circle icon, right? The logo itself, the icon itself, and put it in a circle, curved cornered, squared off thing that looks just ridiculous. These are just all perfect circles.
As it should be. Yeah.
Right.
As it should be. Yeah. So, all right. Well, Now, and the other part of this rumor, though, you know, obviously the watch doesn't have Apple Intelligence, and that's not going to change. The watch is not going to have Apple Intelligence. It's simply going to benefit from stuff running through your phone. Yeah, I mean, currently they say it does have AI-powered features right now, like notification summary and Genmoji support. But is that happening on the watch?
Can you?
Or is that just being sent from the phone?
Yeah, good question. Yeah.
Well, okay, but, all right.
So if they incorporate like the base Apple Intelligence into your watch, does that mean when you're just, which happens very rarely with any of us, but if you don't have your phone and you have your watch, right. you can ask so-and-so to use ChatGPT to find an answer for you, correct?
I don't know that you're going to be able to do that, right? That chip is not in the watch yet.
I'm going to try that.
but right now you get notification summaries, right?
You get notification summaries.
Now, if I'm out running with my watch and I don't have my phone, I have a cellular watch.
Right.
I still get notification summaries.
Sure, you should.
But it's not coming through my phone, right?
I don't know.
See, I don't know where that processing is happening.
That means it's happening
on the server.
Yeah, on the server.
Server?
Yeah, on the iCloud
account. Yeah. Okay. All right. This is all getting confusing.
So that would be the – because if you look at what's on your phone now for Apple Intelligence, nothing can really translate to the watch then.
Right. That's why I'm kind of questioning this idea that your watch is going to – that they can state that it has Apple Intelligence, right. But it really doesn't.
It doesn't, yeah. Maybe it's going to be access to Apple Intelligence when it's synchronized with your phone.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, a marketing spin, right? Mm.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to define here. What's spin and what's really coming. I think there's a bit of spin here.
Well, we will learn at WWDC, I'm sure.
Or will we? No. But will you believe it? Yeah. All right, moving on. Here's some good news. Apple cuts more than 60% of its global greenhouse gas emissions. So this is all about Earth Day coming up again next week on the 22nd, I do believe. But Apple has announced that global greenhouse gas emissions are down 60% compared to 2015 levels. And Apple's ultimate goal, which they announced in 2020, and we've talked about that before, is a project called Apple 2030, which centers around becoming 100% carbon neutral by 2030. So they want to become carbon neutral across their entire business, manufacturing chain, and product life cycle. That is a huge goal.
Yeah, it is. The vast of manufacturers. I wonder what that footprint looks like. Yeah.
Exactly. Correct. That's what I was going to say.
Which is now ever changing with the tariffs. That's got to be interrupting some of this. So their 2030 plan here, they plan to reduce emissions by 75% by 2030 and developing carbon removal solutions for the remaining 25% of its footprint. Mm-hmm. So in 2024, they managed to avoid an estimated 41 million metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions. Woo, that's a lot.
It is.
Now, I think their campus, their actual headquarters and all that is already 100%, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Carbon neutral, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. So I think what all of this then is working on is, they're at their corporate level, that it's the rest of the supply chain that they're working on.
Yeah.
But I'll put a link in the show notes. There's just some amazing stats in here of what they're doing.
And this is. Oh, go ahead, Vincent.
No, I'm just curious about like what Apple's actual percentage of what impact this does have to the entire manufacturing out of carbon. And how their mission to do this is impacting that.
Right. It says here in the article, Apple says that 26 of its semiconductor suppliers are committing to abate 90% of their emissions. And because these factories often create materials for other companies, this effort reduces carbon impact beyond Apple as well.
Yeah.
So that's true. If you get these suppliers to start doing it that way, they'll do it for everybody that way.
Mm-hmm.
If they're set up for that, right?
And this also includes like the actual supply, the supply chain side, the actual transportation logistics. Yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily control that, do you? And that would be massive amounts of CO2 emission.
Well, I think that's what some of the carbon the offset are going to take care of some things that they can't control.
So that would be buying the carbon offsets or somehow creating them?
Don't know.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They buy the carbon offset. It's a part of that lawsuit that they're trying to do. Maybe this is a part of that PR spin. We got to put some news out.
Could be.
Kind of back.
But if you look at these numbers, I don't know any other company that's doing this. I mean, these numbers are incredible. Apple and its suppliers saved 14 billion gallons of fresh water in 2024. Bringing the total to 90 billion since launching the Supplier Clean Water Program in 2013. The company plans to replenish 100% of fresh water withdrawals in high stress locations in the next 5 years. I mean, it's everything. It's power, it's the water, it's the air, it's the environment as far, I mean, the actual environment, planting of trees and, I mean, just, an entire range of stuff that they're doing is pretty incredible to try to get there. And now, ahead of Earth Day coming up next week, if you recycle any old or unwanted devices, there's a new promotion between now and May 16th. They're going to give you 10% off eligible accessories when you bring in an old device to recycle at a participating Apple store.
Tom, roll up the truck.
No, I don't want to get rid of some of that stuff.
It would ruin your museum. I know
it
that.
Would, it would. Not museum quality stuff. We're talking about the other junk.
Well, I know this whole topic, it's had ebb and flow as far as the corporate governance, you know, at least in the United States. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, it led like the quarterly earnings calls, right? Hey, we're doing this. Now it's kind of fallen back into, you know, how important is it and how much we report it. So the fact that Apple's still way on top of it and putting this kind of information out is great. At my company's yearly sales kickoff, you know, they opened up the main tent presentation saying we're carbon neutral because we bought these carbon credits. And I'm thinking to myself, who figured this out? I'm like, who actually figured out and said we're going to be carbon neutral, you know, and or is it just a statement, or did you do, you know, it's a whole bunch of estimation of figuring this out. So that's the cool part is like, who does the math?
Well, Apple has an entire department that does that.
They do.
Yeah. I mean, Lisa Jackson's in charge of all of that.
Yeah.
And when they, you know, they're halfway through this initiative, right? They announced it in 2020 to be there by 2030. So they're at the halfway point and they're at 60%.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Well, now, they're ahead of their game.
Yeah. The last 40-30% is probably going to be the toughest to do.
It always is. The last 10% is the hardest.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So anyway, kudos to them for still pushing this. I'm sure they got a lot of other things on their plate right now, but at least they're still pushing ahead on this one.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting because a lot of their suppliers are in China or Vietnam or elsewhere. And it's them pushing those factories to be much more efficient, climate friendly.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting. We start onshoring manufacturing that it's going to be more difficult to push those types of initiatives as well.
Oh, practically impossible.
Yeah. it's going to cost things a lot more. It's going to cost a lot more to do that. Yeah,
as they remove regulation, it'd be easier to run. It'd be easier for them to
be less efficient.
Be less efficient.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So,
it's like we were talking earlier. It's the ambiguity. Every 4 years, strategy changes. Well, 4 to 8 years, it almost like flip flops. If you did stand up, you know, a very successful new manufacturing facility somewhere in the United States, you're going to need a whole department just to deal with the changing in the government that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's again, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can see some of these specifics from it, but it's all good news for Earth Day coming up next week. Isn't there an Earth Day challenge as well on the watch?
No? There usually is, yeah.
Did we mention that last time? I think we mentioned it last time. Mm. There should be one. Does that mean we got two challenges next week?
Maybe. 2025.
2 days apart.
Yeah. Apple Watch challenge.
Yeah, Earth Day and then this 10-year anniversary thing 2 days later. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... So,
we shall see. You don't get a pin for that first one, though.
No, no. Just, all right. Just feel good.
All right. Other rumors. Apple TV. Apple TV has not been updated since 2022. The Apple TV 4K, I should be more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it has an A15 Bionic chip in it, which at the time was pretty cool. However, this article says there's four new features that they're expecting with the new Apple TV coming soon. Number one is an A17 Pro or A18 chip upgrade. So that's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. That will make it capable of running Apple Intelligence, as well as make it a better gaming upgrade for the box.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number two, obviously Apple Intelligence support. We'll see what that does. I mean, right now they're kind of comparing it to what AI-powered Alexa assistant on Fire TV does. So you can get personalized TV recommendations based on your current mood, jumping to different scenes with only a brief description, and getting info on music after the fact from any part of a show or film. Okay, so some basic AI stuff throw in there.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Apple's first Wi-Fi and Bluetooth chip. So, you know, we had the new C1 modem chip in the iPhone 16e.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was new and took a long time to get. Well, they've been working on this also for a number of years, and that's its own in-house Wi-Fi and Bluetooth chip. And it will bring several improvements. An end-to-end wireless approach that is tightly integrated with other components for energy efficiency. And it will work more closely together and potentially synchronize data more quickly between Apple devices and smart home devices. So, nice. That makes sense.
Right.
This fourth one I don't agree with at all. And they do say it's a wild card, but a built-in camera, FaceTime camera, built into the Apple TV. What do you think about that?
Not a terrible idea. I mean, as long as there's also a port, like a USB in the back that you can connect an external camera to, I think it's actually a pretty good idea. My Apple TV faces forward just like that, like just in the picture, underneath my TV, and it would be helpful not to have another.
Same here. So.
Well, yeah, I thought. I have several Apple TVs in the house. Some are within, like on a desktop or wherever, you know, where you can see it. Others are you know, taped up behind that TV.
Yeah. Yes,
I mean, completely out of sight. you won't even know it's there.
Yeah.
So that becomes a problem, like you said. So you had a way to access that.
Some sort of external camera. That,
yeah, you're going to buy the non-camera version there. Mm-hmm. But mine's underneath my TV too, Vince, and it faces out. I thought, could you use this to like watch your dogs or something, you know, when you're away?
Oh, for sure.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. You know, so that'd be something. And then if you don't want to hold your phone when someone FaceTimes you, of course, you know, you'd be screaming across the room a little bit. But the cameras aren't that expensive, I don't think, anymore. So why not throw it in there? Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Yeah. My Samsung TV's got a camera on the top of the thing. I haven't used it. But
yeah?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. It was meant for just that. Balls and it was that motion. It was like 10 years ago, like that motion. You can wave your hand and increase the volume and stuff like that, change channel.
Mm-hmm.
But after we found out that Samsung was kind of just recording all of that and sending it back to Korea, we shut it down.
So currently, you know, they show the phone there. You can, what is that called? Continuity or something?
Mm-hmm. Continuity
camera. Yeah, yeah, you can do that right now.
Yeah.
And they're saying build the camera in. Now, the other rumors have been Apple putting cameras in the AirPods and mm-hmm. in your Apple Watch. We've seen different patents for both of those. So
We have.
Yeah, so why not this? Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I like your idea of a port in the back, though, Vincent. That's a good
idea.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Like in the old eyesight.
I worked really hard to make sure that the TV in the living room is just the TV on the wall and nothing is showing. No cables, no box.
Right? Yeah, same here. So we did.
Yeah, yeah. So I buried, not have to pull that out.
I got cables buried in the walls, right? I had some remodeling done, so nothing's ever going to come in or out. It is what it is.
Exactly.
That's cool. I was just thinking you were going through the article about, you know, how like AI is being used to summarize everything, your email, your notifications, messages. How weird would it be to summarize an entire movie? Basically, it just says, give me the 5-minute download of this entire thing, right? And it just plays all the right clips.
Oh, wow.
And it'd be so weird.
Oh, wow. Yeah, really? You want the summary.
I want the summary.
You know what you want that for? You know what you want that for is, it used to be that, you know, series were about, you know, a yearly cadence. Now some of them are 18 months, right? Even 2 year. So it'd be great to say, okay, summarize the previous season in 10 minutes. Just give me the basic plot changes and the very important stuff that leads to this season. Boom, right? In 10 minutes, you get the summary of 10 episodes that you watched 18 months ago. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, they just did that for The Last of Us, the new
the series. Summarization. Yeah.
They did a summarization, which was not just, you know, a previously on thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a pretty in-depth, I don't know how many minutes it was, pretty long, that showed extended scenes of a lot of stuff and caught you up pretty good for the entire season.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And Andor just did the same thing. Oh. They've got a 3 or 4 minute thing, I think, on the entire season.
Yeah.
First season.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that is AI.
Oh, you mean when they have editors on staff. I'm sure they. Although that would take their job, wouldn't it? To be able to do that.
Oh my goodness.
You know, when all this stuff works, it's just going to be wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
When you can speak to your devices.
Just,
like Jarvis, and have it talk back to you in a normal voice and give you accurate information. Are we going to live long enough to see that?
Yeah, just like,
you know, yeah, I think
my,
so.
My future is like Wall-E. I just want to, you know, lounge around and.
What's the color of the week or the flavor of the week? You know? Exactly. That's all you're worried about.
Picking up my lazy boy now.
I actually have an application. I'm traveling. You know, that's why we have to move the next show, because I'm traveling to Europe again. And, you know, my company's like, we'll pay business, right? Because it's a customer visit. And so I want to somehow put a trigger in all my capabilities to, when the price is right on the ticket, go buy the right ticket at the right price for me to get business class to go to the city I'm going
to.
You know, that's what I would like to, because I overplan when I go to big trips, and you guys may do that too. I'm like, I sit here for hours trying to find the best flights. I'm like, I just want to say, here's what I want. Here's how I want to do it. This is my criteria. Go buy it.
Yeah. I think it can do it now. It's just not on Apple stuff yet.
What's it on then? Is it?
I think a lot of your Android, Samsung stuff does some of that.
Yeah, Gemini might be able to do that. Might check Gemini with flights.google.com see whether or not I can do that.
Yeah. Okay, can I set something so when it's at the right place in the right time? Like, for example, sometimes, I guess if I bought, this wouldn't apply if I'm buying a business class ticket, but let's say you're buying a coach ticket and you want to upgrade. You know, would it buy the upgrade for you, right? So you set, you know, when the upgrade is below $500, buy it.
Right.
Those would be things. Maybe I need to go to Android devices.
Okay. And that's the last we heard from Chris. Got your Galaxy Watch there, huh?
I'm going to start getting online and look at those devices right now.
Yeah.
No, I like Vincent's idea of the lazy boy Apple TV, the Wally Apple TV. That's what I want. It just keeps you, it just keeps feeding you exactly what you want.
Yep.
In shows, and you just sit back and let it do its thing.
Yeah,
that's right.
I like that. Wally Apple.
You know, TV. It is. It,
go ahead.
It, you do need. I think. There needs to be some new AI in your apps, because I tell you what, I was just talking to a friend about this. The amount of content in the world today, overwhelming is understating it. Correct.
Right. Right.
Because when we were young, you and me, Tom, because I think we're older than Vincent, very manageable. Right. You had a rhythm of what you're going to watch and when you're going to watch it. Today, what am I watching next? And what do you, you know, Netflix, and after using it for years, it's got the AI front end for you. I'd like to totally switch it. I'd like to go, hey, this is all the stuff I've watched. Give me stuff I've never, just totally switch it up for me. I would like that to happen. Can you reset all that on your apps? Because that's what I would like to see. I like AI to kind of trick me sometimes.
Well, there is, you know, the whole you might like this mm-hmm. kind of feature, but I've never found those to be very accurate or good.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for that's, me, at least. That's one of the holy grails, the recommendation engine. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because right, a lot of the stuff it recommends is either not right or it's something I've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can you at least, you know, double check what I've watched and take that off your recommendation list?
But, yeah. I want to be surprised. I want to see something totally different than I've ever watched before, because I don't know what I don't know.
Right. Well, we are so spoiled, aren't we?
We are terrible.
You talk about the old days. You had three channels, and you had to watch it live.
And you liked it.
And you liked it.
And your dad made you get up and change a channel.
And you actually worked your entire schedule around when your favorite show was on.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Now we've got a million channels, everything that's ever been recorded. Yeah, it's, you know, that's why we're just overwhelmed.
It is overwhelming. And that's what I'm saying. We joke about the past, but you know what? It actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but yes and no, right?
Mm.
Yeah, there's, you can't, anyway. It's Friday night, isn't it? All right, here we go. moving on.
That's the next podcast. Acting and TV shows.
Yes, there you go. We got a couple of stories here. I usually don't cover these, but these were kind of interesting. Apple has a new campaign for the Apple Watch from TBWA Media Arts Lab. Okay, and it's a life-saving thing. It's based on a real story. A guy named Rick Shearman from Byron. He was in Byron Bay. Is this Australia, I think?
Seems like it, yeah.
I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he was an experienced swimmer. He found himself pulled 1.6 kilometers out to sea by a dangerous rip current, and he was unable to battle the large waves and return to shore. He activated the emergency SOS on his Apple Watch to call, I guess here would be 911, there it's 000, which ultimately led to a helicopter rescue of him. And this kind of reenactment of the video here, but they're playing the real audio.
Mm-hmm.
From the actual rescue. Pretty bold, pretty powerful. Kind of interesting. So this is from TBWA Media Arts Lab. This is not from Apple. This is from an agency they've hired. I thought they brought everything in-house. That's interesting. Yeah, again, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can watch this video.
Yeah.
It is one of the better ones I've seen.
There was a lot less cursing than I thought there would be for an Australian. But yeah.
Yeah. But it's called Rick's Rescue. And then in similar news, this is from New Zealand. Apple Watch, the new Vitals app helped a woman detect her cancer early, and they're saying it saved her life. So this was in New Zealand, Amanda Faulkner. She's a consultant psychiatrist. Shared that she was 48 hours away from potential death. Eesh. When her Apple Watch Series 10 alerted her to a critical health issue. Mm-hmm. According to the report, ever since the start of the year, she'd been feeling kind of fatigued, kind of struggling with the summer heat. She brushed off the symptoms, assuming they were just signs of anemia or perimenopause. But the Vitals app, which she had recently started using after upgrading from her husband's old model of Apple Watch, mm-hmm. told a different story. She began wearing the watch every day. The app continuously notified her about fluctuations in her resting heart rate. Her heart rate normally was at 55 beats per minute. In recent weeks, it would spike into the 90s. And at first, she thought the watch was malfunctioning. It kept sending her notifications, prompting her to visit her doctor. And she shared the data from the Apple Watch. They ran further tests. Within 4 hours of being admitted to the emergency department, she was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia.
That's nuts.
A rare aggressive blood cancer. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
The doctors warned her if she delayed treatment any longer, she could have died within days because of the complications. Oof. So she's fighting it now. She's, you know, undergoing chemotherapy. All that good stuff has given her a chance. Just incredible. I mean, cannot stress enough to use the Vitals app if you have a watch that's capable of all those things.
Which ones will do Vital?
Well, the problem is, at least for me, is like the new Series 10 doesn't do the blood oxygen.
Mm.
You know, you have to use one of the other. Like I have the Ultra. I have the Ultra 2. Yeah. That does blood oxygen. Right. So I get all five of those metrics at night. Mm.
Right.
And, you know, any of them get too far out of whack. Well, I think what it is if you get one of them out, that's fine. One outlier. If it does two, it will notify you if two things are out at once. But I check it all the time, just kind of glance down and make sure they're all within range.
Yeah.
But that's why, right there.
So if it's running watchOS 11, is that what it is?
I think it has to, which not all the watches can do if you have an old one, right? Yeah. So, yeah, as long as it's capable of doing it, definitely that's look into that.
Yeah, I've slacked off in terms of wearing my watch to sleep lately, but I don't know.
Really?
No outliers so far, thank goodness.
Yeah, I switched off. I wear my Series 10 during the day, but I wear my Ultra at night for that very reason, because I get one extra metric during sleep. Mm-hmm. All right. Last story here. Absolutely love this. Praise Keir, if you're a Severance fan. the TV show Severance, the keyboard that they use is now coming to the Mac. So, as we noted, Apple posted the Lumen Terminal Pro from the TV show on its website as kind of a nice little promo for the series. It's gone now. Now there's a company that is going to recreate the MDR Dasher keyboard, which is a replica of that Lumen employee's keyboard that they use on the show. They said it's inspired by a Data General Dasher 200, a computer terminal from the 1970s. It's three different shades of blue. It even features a trackball to move the cursor. It's a 73-key, 70% layout with no escape, no control, and no option keys.
That's so cool.
It said those might be problematic for users with key combos, but it's not clear if the top row will be a set of function keys. But, you know, they also say the photo, what you're seeing on the photo, may not be the actual one that they come out with.
Right. But like, think about that. The set designer who decided to leave the no escape, no control, and no option.
Yes, of course.
So deep. That is so deep.
That is so on brand with that show.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. There's someone who read the script. They knew what it was about. No escape is awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, it will be available for macOS, Windows, and Linux via USB-C. Atomic Keyboard is the company. They've not announced a price or ship date, but you can sign up for notification when the keyboard becomes available, which I already have done. This is definitely on my list. I would think this could cost $400 or more, probably.
Oof.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I think so.
Yeah. I guess
now, the reason I think they're getting away with this is it's based on a 1970s real keyboard.
Mm.
It's not like they're copying the Lumen one. Lumen already copied the 1970s one, so they can kind of get away with one that's very similar.
With a trackball on the side, though.
That's why I want it. It's kind of neat. Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Two little buttons above it.
Right, the buttons above it.
Yeah. And I'll put a link in the show notes so you can click on the sign up for notification link there. And when I did that, let me see if it tells me. There's more detail here. It's their website, Atomic Keyboard. It says, we brought this keyboard out of the severed floor. It's time for our Audis to enjoy each keystroke equally. So, yeah, it says by joining the pre-launch list, you'll be the first to know when our limited time group buy goes live. No ominous break room necessary.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is very funny.
Even their logo is the Lumen logo.
Okay.
That's funny.
Here's where I saw it. It says $399, and there's a line slashed through it. It says final price TBD.
Mm. Yeah, I just saw that too. I was going to mention that. Mm-hmm. So that's probably where you got that thought process. Yep.
That's
well, you're going to get the satisfaction of the clicking and the key response. You know, it's so 1970s where it'd be like tap 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 tap. You know, very clicky. So
and yeah, I have several of those keyboards around the house.
Oh, do you?
With the actual mechanical keys. Yes, I love it. I don't use one on the show because that's the worst sound in the world when you're speaking hearing a keyboard clicking. But I love typing on them, though. I just always have. This would be cool. Loving it. Atomic. Is this a company just made up to do this?
I don't know. It looks like it because they took the Lumen logo and everything. So
yeah, there's nothing else about them.
Yeah.
If I go to their home, it says, "Hi, we're Atomic Keyboard, a keyboard studio dedicated to designing and manufacturing the finest keyboards on the planet because great ideas deserve a keyboard that keep up."
It'd be cool just to have a company that made things for movies and TV shows.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't see anything else listed on their website. This is too funny. Think this is real. I guess we'll find out. Know. Is it all a promotion? Did I just sign up to get notified for the next season of Severance instead?
I think this might be something underneath something that's kind of tied into Severance. That's what I'm guessing.
All right. Well, we'll see. Anyway, all right. That's it for the news. Did I miss anything this week?
Nope.
No. All right.
Looking forward to talking to you, Annie.
Yes. See, I can, that way, that's the only way you can correspond with them, right? It's through one of these keyboards. So.
Yeah.
You type, they type back. Right? You got to wait a day, but you get the answer. Okay. All right. Let's move on to what we like this week. Chris, what do you got?
Sure, Tom. Just hodgepodge of things. But first, I would guess 6-8 months ago, I had a what I like this week around using ChatGPT. And I thought, you know, I'm going to update everyone on that because at my company, a lot of the sales team, we've kind of collaborated. We've now built this really, really intricate list of questions we ask ChatGPT. So all of us have to kind of research companies and we used to do it. It was time consuming, right? We used a marketing team. We used a bunch of other people. You had to read, quarterly reports. You had to listen to the quarterly, calls from the CEOs, you know, the earnings calls. But now we have probably 100 questions built up and they're categorized. And now you can just like pick what questions you want, throw them into ChatGPT within 5 minutes. I've got something used to take hours to do. Mm-hmm. And with the new versions of ChatGPT, right, you're getting better validated data. So anyway, I just wanted to update that it's really cool because it just kind of started little at our company. And now we kind of got this collaborative list. New people joining say, here's how you go research your companies. And it's been a very positive experience. So it was a little small user group within my company that's grown with the ChatGPT. So it's really kind of fun.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't used it in a while and I don't pay for it. I just use the free version. So I think the free version has now been upgraded to something because I used it the other day and it's much better. like more conversational, more
right.
Like not creepy, but I actually laughed out loud at several of the responses that it gave me because they were pretty good. You know, I was surprised.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better, and you know, I mean, every week I'm getting one or two version changes, so it's continuously moving. I have the paid version, although our company just gave us what's the Microsoft version again?
Copilot.
Yeah, Copilot. Yeah. So we all got Copilot licenses, but most of us are sticking to the ChatGPT licenses that we pay for ourselves because I use it in my personal life as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I haven't really looked at Copilot to see, but. But anyway, and the other couple other quick things. I took you up on Andor, and I'm halfway through season one, and I really like it. And, yeah. So I can see he's a great organizer, and he's a great motivator, right? So I can see where it's kind of leading to the movies that what he had to do in the movies. So it's really nice. So it's a good one. Yeah. That's a really good series.
It's nice to see his journey from a non-believer, skeptic kind of thing to a full-blown rebel.
Right.
It's a great journey. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then lastly, the last thing I don't like this week, I was running without my phone last week. And I don't know, I didn't do any research on this, but I was listening to a podcast. And you know, when you get away from something, Siri would tell me that, hey, this device has been left behind. It was last seen here. And I would let the message play on my AirPods. And then I go back to the podcast and it was 3 minutes earlier or 4 minutes later.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's happened to you guys, but it just happened to me recently. It's just like hodgepodge. Whenever I get a break in the flow of the podcast without my phone, it just goes anywhere.
Now, I've noticed that mine doesn't seem to be quite that far back, but it always does jump back a bit.
Yeah.
It knows when it spoke over what you're listening to, you missed it.
Mm. That's what I thought too, but it wasn't anything like that. I don't know. It was really odd, and it was really frustrating me, you know, and I had not noticed that in the past. So maybe it's something that was happening. I just didn't notice it very well.
Maybe. At least it continued with the correct podcast.
It did. It did. Episode. Yeah.
Look on the bright side, right?
Yes. All right. Yes, sir.
All right. What I like this week is a camera from Ecobee. It's called the Ecobee Smart Camera with voice control. Very unique name there. It's an indoor camera, and it will work with your existing Ecobee setup, but it's also a HomeKit camera, so it'll work with any HomeKit home, or it also supports Alexa as well. I have Ecobee thermostats, doorbell, window and door sensors, so I thought this would be an easy setup. However, it wasn't. The camera is about 4 inches tall. It has a speaker in the front as well as the lens. There's also some status lights above the camera. It comes with this little cylinder cone type of stand that I think it's kind of sort of magnetic, but it snaps into place on the bottom of the camera or on the back. So you have different ways to mount it on a wall, but you can also just set it on a table. So that was pretty nice. The mounting options are pretty cool. Anyway, I plugged it in. I opened up the Ecobee app, tapped on add a device, chose the camera. Took a while, but it finally showed up. I tapped on it for setup. I put in my Wi-Fi name and password. It said configuring and configuring, and it never finished configuring. Went into Never Never Land. So I unplugged it, tried it all over again, got the exact same result.
Oh.
So I thought, okay, this has got to be an issue with the Wi-Fi connection because that's kind of when it went screwy.
Yeah.
So I connected it directly through the HomeKit app instead by scanning the little HomeKit code, you know, on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Connected and it worked. It was great. Now, how do I get the Ecobee app as well? I want that because there's a few options and settings that are only available through the app, right? Well, I got stuck in that loop again, trying to turn it into the Ecobee app. trying to get it to see it. And at one point, it actually said it needed to update. And I thought, oh, well, maybe that's the problem. It needs to do an update first. It took about 10 minutes. I did that, and it dropped me back through the same loop. In fact, it got to the point where it kept asking me to update.
Oh my gosh.
I was very frustrated. Oh. I gave up for a day, and then I went back to it again. Anyway, after several rounds of this nonsense, I went back to the HomeKit app, and that wasn't working anymore. So now I got nothing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, there's two touch-sensitive buttons on top of the camera, and that's how you navigate through a couple of options of resetting. One of them is a factory reset, which I did several times. And by several, I mean about five times. I had to keep going through this loop and trying that to see if it would work. And anyway, it's now working with either the HomeKit or the Ecobee app. So I was about to send it back. And I was trying one last time to get it to connect. You know, it's going through the update again, which takes 10 minutes. In the middle of doing the update, the power went out in my house.
Oh, God.
In the middle of the update, which is the one thing they say you should never do, which is don't turn off the device, power to the device during this update, the power went out. So it was only out for a few minutes, but when it came back on, I tried it again, and it actually worked.
What the?
The way it should have in the first place. I don't know what I did or what series of things I did in what order, but I configured it through the Ecobee app and on the HomeKit app as well. I did it all at once.
Hmm.
And they both see it perfectly. And it works fine.
Wow. That's interesting.
So all it took was a poorly timed power outage to get this thing to work.
You think poorly timed. It was perfectly timed.
It was perfect timed. Anyway, the image on the camera is really good. It's got a lot of great features. It'll only record when it detects that everyone has left the house. I thought that was pretty cool. That's a nice feature. I can set it to record when other smart devices are activated, like the door locks or there's motion or that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It can turn on the lights in a room when it senses motion. You know, there's a lot of great possibilities here once I got it working. You can get it from Ecobee. It's $99. Or you can get it from Amazon for about the same price. So far, so good, but the setup was insane.
Do you have VPN on your mesh network at home?
No.
You don't?
Nope.
Oh.
I have an Eero network.
Yeah. I was just wondering if you
shouldn't be saying this out loud on the show, but
it's
no one knows.
Pretty common. But yeah.
But it's an Eero network, so it's up to date. It's the latest, you know. But here's the weird thing. I restarted my router and everything during this too to try that. Oosh. To see if that was the problem.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Frustrating. Didn't work. That happens with my garage opener. It just goes in and out.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
So anyway, I think it may have to do with the fact that first it wants to create its own little Wi-Fi network to connect.
Right. Yeah.
And it wasn't doing that, so it jumped on my, I don't know.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that hard. Yeah. None of their other devices are this hard to set up. None.
Wow.
They're super, super simple. But this, oh my gosh.
Hmm.
Anyway, so I can't give it 5 stars for sure. all right, Vincent, what do you like this week?
Yeah, so I got tariffed.
You did get tariffed.
After our last show, you know, we were talking about how the tariffs were going to go up and, you know, and Apple's going to have a hard time keeping their prices in a decent amount. But anyway, so I was like, well, I just got to get ahead of this. So I purchased an iPad Air Pro for my son, who is about to go to college. Also, you know, he's a musician, so he needs an iPad for, you know, sheet music and all that stuff. So he decided to, you know, use the monthly payments and get that purchased and get ahead of these tariffs. Got the pencil, got the keyboard and everything. The whole nine yards. It was pretty cool. The whole experience is really nice to be able to just kind of go through it. The thing is, we chatted about this or we talked about this in a previous show, but there are multiple different types of stores. You can't go to the store app on your phone. It just goes to the main one. But for education and for military and veterans, there's different stores that you can actually go to, and there's legitimately a discount on those for folks that meet those qualifications. And for that,
there's also an employee store.
An employee store, yeah. So for education, it applies to students and parents of students that are in college as well, or are going to college. So that and teachers. So you can definitely take advantage of that. So, you know, we've got the engraving too for the pencil, just in case he loses it and all that stuff. But the delivery was fantastic. It was a couple of days later. It's free. They show up. They drop it off for you. Everything's rolled perfectly well. It all came in one place really fast. Everything worked. AppleCare was already included, you know, when you purchased the thing.
Nice. Oh, great. Yeah. That's good.
Great.
Definitely take advantage of all of that. But now, we've got a new
fantastic
iPad Air iPad Pro. And now I'm kind of holding off on my my purchase of an iMac. I'm going to look to get one of those soon. But they should have enough in stock, hopefully, for the remainder of this year. Yeah.
At the pre-tariff price?
Yeah. At the pre-tariff price.
That's the key, right?
In stock price, yes.
That's still happening.
Yeah.
Good.
You mentioned you got an Apple Pencil as well.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, the company Dbrand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They do stickers.
Yeah.
It just came out with some for the Apple Pencil that make them look like different colors of Crayola crayons.
Oh, how funny.
Oh, that's gosh. Cool.
It's amazing. They look incredible. They're so fun.
Yeah. Should be pretty neat.
Because I did the one that made it look like a number two pencil.
Mm-hmm.
The
original Apple Pencil.
Yeah. Apple Pencils, though, are finicky. You cannot drop those things. You can't absolutely not drop them. If they land on their tip, it's over.
Well, you can replace the tip.
No, it breaks the inside sensor. Please be super careful with your Apple Pencils.
Yeah.
So no tapping around with like a drum
stick? Yeah, exactly. That's one way
that's
of...
That's prohibited?
You don't do that.
Yeah, you don't do that. It's really interesting.
You know, I haven't used my pencil in a long time. I used to use it, you know, take copious notes. Now I just record everything and use AI to summarize. It's changed my whole business. I don't think I've lifted my Apple Pencil in a year.
Wow.
Yeah, I draw a lot with it. It's I still love it. It's absolutely amazing. But I came from the very first iPad Pro. You know, the big one with the first Apple Pencil was the one I had.
Yeah.
To now the M4 iPad Pro with the new pencil is just night and day. It's incredible.
Yeah. I imagine so. With the right use cases for artists or anyone that's using it beyond what I was just taking notes, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is I have to stop playing drums with my Apple pencil.
You better not.
I recommend that.
Okay. Yes. Okay. But okay, I just thought, you know, they're kind of nice and weighted and they work well. So
yeah.
All right. Anything else before we drop our Apple Watch Ultra face down on the tile floor and expect a disaster, but nothing at all?
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad you ended that way. I'm like, where is he going with this?
I just did that the other day. it fell off the counter onto the tile floor, and you could tell by the way it hit that it was just flat right on the screen, just clunk.
Wow.
It's like, picked it up, nothing.
So I think it's built like a tank.
It is.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It lives up to its name. Let's put it that way.
Very cool.
My Series 10, however, it scratches every time I turn around. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thanks to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about on our show can be found on our website, and that's at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.